in the house that's loved the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beautiful part of that song, Redeemer of my past and present wrongs, Holder of my future.
Yeah.
That's if you'll let him. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What a great God. He says, put him at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You don't need to carry him around anymore.
Come on.
Hallelujah. I'm turning him in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your Bibles, Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, we're going to read 1 through 22. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out Shittim, two men, to spy secretly, saying, Go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. The woman took the two men and hid them and said, Thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went out, I would not pursue them quickly, for they shall overtake them. But she had brought them up into the roof of her house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they had laid down, she came up unto the roof. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that I have, and deliver out our lives from death. And they had a great request. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sister and all that I have, and deliver out our lives from death. You believe God is able to do that in your families? And the man answered her, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves 3 days until the pursuer be returned, and afterwards may you go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of thine own oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line upon scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whomsoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our heads, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quiet of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. I pray, God, right now, Lord, you speak to every heart. Lord, you know every situation. You understand, Lord, every situation that people are going through here today. And God, you have a word for them. And we're believing and we're trusting in you. Touch each heart. Lord, I pray, speak through your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated. I want to speak to you tonight, Rahab's salvation. Rahab's salvation. Have you ever looked into your family tree? It can be a lot of fun if you keep, if you look deep into your family history, in the origin of your family. Most likely you'll discover that there are some pretty strange and odd characters in your family's background. And it's some of those things that make you go, All right? It can be a lot of fun, but it can also be a little scary. But most likely, folks, you'll discover there are some pretty strange and odd characters, and those are the ones that you don't tell too many things about. All right? But also, have you ever looked at Jesus' family tree? When we look at his family tree, we see kings and heroes of the faith. And we see people of great faith and great accomplishments. And we also find there are a few on the list who we may think were unsavory characters and did not belong on the family tree of Jesus. You see, it's interesting that three women are specifically named, of all of whom are unlikely candidates for members on Jesus' family tree. One was Ruth. Ruth was from Moab. She was not an Israelite. She was an idol worshiper. Another was Tamar, who's masqueraded as a prostitute and tricked her former father-in-law into fathering her children. And the third one was Rahab, also a prostitute, a Canaanite resident of Jericho, who did not know the God of Israel. God chose those whom we may not refer to as the best people to be a part of the messianic line. And in fact, God has a habit, folks, of picking unlikely people, obviously flawed people, to further his kingdom. And you might be here tonight and say, "He picked me. Come on." You see, it seems that God loves to turn things upside down, and he chooses the unexpected to lead his people. And he continues to do it with you and I. Amen? Since God used flawed people in the messianic line, that means he can use us to do great things in his kingdom. Can I have a little more monitor, please? Amen. Like it or not, folks, we are all flawed. Amen. Good news is that who we are or what we have done should never prevent us from expecting a relationship in the presence of God. Amen. And that he can demonstrate our relationship, amen, to other people. When you read the story of Rahab, you learn, amen, there's trustworthiness of God's word.
See, the fact that God includes story like Rahab is evidence that the Bible is no ordinary man-made book. Amen. You see, if you were writing a story about the world, amen, and how it's under your control and it's headed in the direction that you have already determined, and if you're trying to get people to follow you and you're trying to get people to serve you, you would think that you don't give a lot of space to tell about all the mess ups of the people and the way it sometimes looks like it's not going the way you want it to go. You don't tell the warts of and all the problems unless you're God. Come on. But the Bible, folks, read your Bible. Amen. There's a lot of mess ups. There's a lot of warts. Jacob, the Bible says, was a liar. Leah, the Bible says, was ugly. Joseph was sold and abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. And Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair, was a rapist and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Amen. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Peter was impulsive and denied Jesus. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried too much. The Samaritan woman was divorced at least four times and was living with the man. Zacchaeus, oh, he was too small. Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. See, there's a whole list of sin-marred people that God chooses to include in the Bible. But when God tells a story of setting aside a peculiar people and a holy nation, he includes the liars and the cowards and the cheaters and the mess-ups and the streetwalkers and in all of his family tree. Just the fact that today we are reading about a former prostitute who became a part of the Israelite community and even an ancestor of the line of the King of David tells me something about this book. You see, it is not a product of just human work, and its purpose is more than being interesting reading. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible is credible and it is real. Hallelujah. See, people of this generation, I believe, are clamoring to find something that is real. Well, let's be real tonight. How about it, Church of Pentecost? Why don't we be real? Folks, let's show people who people are real. I'm telling you, God is real, and I'm real. I'm living for God. I was a mess up, but now God has put me in the right direction. Hallelujah. We need to be real in front of people. Hallelujah. Folks, let's show people. Let's show them who is really real. Not people who get together every Sunday and put on their church face and pretend that everything about life is just great. Amen? We know it's not, so let's not lie about it. Amen? That's not how the Bible reads. Let's show people that God's word is real and be real. Amen? There's enough phonies and big fronts around, but let's not have them here at Church of Pentecost. Something else you learn when you read the story of Rahab. You see, folks, it's God's way of taking any person, anything, and using them for his glory. You see, I don't care who you are or what you've done in your past. Stories like this are here in a part to teach us that God can take someone, amen, where they are and change them and use them to his glory. For a moment, just consider how far away Rahab was from what God's people were called to be. You see, Rahab, amen, was a pagan. Rahab was a Canaanite. And one of the main reasons that God had Israel annihilate the Canaanite nation was because they were so totally sold over to worship false gods. And that probably included Rahab. You see, she lived among a people whom God ordered to be completely killed because of the wrong religion. Kind of an intolerant God, wasn't it? But somewhere among the way, folks, we've lost some of our appreciation just how much God will not put up with a competition of a false god. That's just why. That's just the way it is. God will not tolerate you putting something else before him. And we need to remember that whenever we are tempted to put on anything before God in our lives, we need to understand just how intolerant God is of it. Rahab was also a prostitute. Yes, she was a prostitute. And when James speaks of her, and she's mentioned in the Hebrew of faith, amen, the word is prostitute, no other way to translate it. Rahab made her living as a prostitute. According to the book, the day America told the truth, amen, they said that a prostitute is one of the fourth vilest way to make a living. It was Isaiah who reminded Israel, folks, in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Amen. Amen. Peter was reminded by God in Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Aren't you glad that God accepts you tonight? Hallelujah. You know, the great thing is God accepted this woman because Rahab feared God and made an attempt to do what was right. Make a note of what made Rahab change from who she had been to what she became. Amen. In Joshua chapter 2, 8 through 11, and before they were laid down, she came came unto them upon the roof, and she said unto them, unto the men, I know, this is awesome, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when they came out of Egypt, and when ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. I think something changed her mind. Amen. I think she believed in their God. I think it's pretty remarkable that this woman makes such a bold statement in the of faith in God. And that's what it is, folks. She had faith in God. Hebrews said that by faith she was saved. In Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You see, when someone says the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth below, that's a pretty strong statement of belief in God. You see, she got there by simply considering the evidence. Word had gotten around. Everyone else in Jericho had heard it too. This was Israel 40 years earlier. When they were fleeing Egypt, their God parted the Red Sea and let them walk across on dry ground. They traveled around Amorites and kings of Sihon, and the Og refused to let them pass peaceably through their territories, and they came out to overthrow the Israelites. Instead, God gave them over to the Israelites, and now those Israelites had their sights set on Jericho. Think about Rahab's options. She could rat them out and count on Jericho to protect her as a true patriot. Or just don't get involved and try to survive along with the rest of the city. Or number three, sign on with the enemy and hope for their protection. But according to the law, if Rahab was caught hiding the spies, she would have been guilty of treason and executed. You see, any decision was risky. But she had reached a point where she believed in the God of heaven. And she was selling out to the God in heaven. And it, folks, it was the right choice. The other two would have ended up with her being killed. You see, God could have used anyone else in that city. But really, stopping in Rahab's house made good sense. You see, she would have had contact with travelers and military men of the day. And she also had a house on a wall. So it was a good place to use for a quick escape. Amen. And they also wouldn't draw as much attention to themselves compared to public places of Jericho. It wasn't a mistake. God knew her faith. And he knew that she'd be the most help. And by using someone we wouldn't have chosen, God brings glory to himself. You see, Rahab's story also reminds you of God's great mercy to the most unlikely receiver. Amen? You see, folks, there's a risk that when you read this story, you would get all caught up in Rahab's change. And you would fail to remember that this is a story about the greatness of God's mercy. Amen? Rahab was spared, and Rahab was forgiven and blessed because of God. Her own city was destroyed, but she was given a place in Israel's community because of God. Amen? Jesus made it a habit, folks, to get into the thick of society's need and deal with the people where they were. Because of this, he was accused of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But in response, Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 12 and 13, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not called to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. In Matthew 21 to 31, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Rahab's story should remind us just how big God's mercy is. You see, it's really so radical. The Israelites made her a part of their community. You see, Solomon married her. God accepted her. God accepts us. What's the difference? You see, now, someone might take that and say, well, then why would anyone not be saved? You see, it's not right for God to save someone and not others. But folks, you have to remember, Rahab's salvation wasn't without conditions. Come on. There's always conditions. She could be saved the day Israel attacked, but it was only if she met the conditions. In Joshua 2, 17 through 19, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our heads, if any hand be upon him. Joshua 6, 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and brought them out of all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. You see, if we really understand the reason people are saved, we will be quick to point out that there are conditions that we have to meet. Amen? You see, it's not going to be forced on us. We have to meet the conditions. There's another requirement of Rahab's salvation. Did you get it as we read? You see, it's her family. Her parents, her brothers can all be saved too. But they have to meet some conditions. Otherwise, they would be destroyed. Now imagine Rahab convincing her family to join her under the protection of the scarlet cord. See, my guess is that she was pretty adamant. It had to be scary for her even to talk to them about what she was doing. And we get a little nervous when we feel the Lord wanted us to witness to somebody. I think that she urged and pled with them and did whatever she could to convince them to come into her house and place their trust and their futures in a single red cord hanging out the window. She was convinced it was their only hope. Wouldn't you have become pretty outspoken about their need to? See, part of the joy of this story, folks, is that Rahab's salvation is a wonderful shadow of our own salvation. Folks, we don't deserve to be saved. The world, the world of which we are part of, is going to be destroyed. And there are others who can be saved if we convince them to join with us. We come to have faith in God based on what we hear about Him and what He has done. And just as surely as Rahab hung a red cord outside of her window, folks, and just like Rahab had to meet the conditions in order for her to be saved and her family, we have to meet the conditions to be saved now. It's not a matter of earning our salvation. Rahab didn't earn hers. It's a matter of agreeing to meet Jesus on His terms. Amen. From there, the gift of salvation is from His hands to you. He says here, amen, you obey this, you can be saved. Now it's in your ballpark. Amen? Part of those conditions involve faith first and foremost. See, you can't please God without faith. And without it, you can have no reason to meet any other conditions. Another of those conditions, folks, is willingness to repent. Baptism in Jesus' name. And receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. Let's stand. On that day of Pentecost, when God poured out His Spirit, all those that were outside listening and amazed as those Galileans, those unlearned men, they knew they were Galileans. They knew by the way they were dressed. They could see that. And they knew they were uneducated. And they were saying, listen at them. That one there is speaking in my language. That one over there is speaking. And Peter stood up. When they said, what must we do? He said, you need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. See, there are conditions. We don't just go waltzing in heaven any old way we think we, this is how I feel like living for God. No, you better get into the Word. Come on.
It's true.
You see, just like Rahab needed that red cord hanging outside for her to be saved, we need to be covered with the red blood of Jesus Christ on our lives in order for us not to be destroyed. You have a chance to do that. You have a chance tonight to be forever changed. Here's what I want. If you have a need in this place tonight, if you need healing, if you need the Holy Ghost, If you need deliverance, whatever your need is in this place tonight, if you'll believe that God will do it for you tonight, I want you to come up front. Come on. If you need a Holy Ghost, and you believe God will give it to you tonight, why don't you come on up here? We'll pray for you. If you need healing tonight, amen, you believe God will touch you tonight, come on up here. We'll pray for you, and we'll believe that it's going to happen tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. Tonight, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Tonight, God wants to heal you. Tonight, God wants to deliver you. Whatever it is, whatever your need is, come on. If you don't have a need, you want to come up here. We want you to come up, amen, and pray with these folks that have a need here tonight.